Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 to 13, talking about how we live our lives in a way that we will expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Beginning in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Speaking about salvation, I'll come back to that in just a moment. So the exposure is not something that we have to be intentional about. Although I have known people, as I mentioned in the previous message, I have known people who felt they were being led by the Holy Spirit of God to intentionally expose darkness and expose evil. And if he does encourage you to do that, then of course you should do that. But what I have found is that there are two things that we need to keep in mind when it comes to this topic. The first thing is that you will not have to be that intentional about exposing darkness, exposing evil, exposing sin. You won't have to really be that intentional about it, because as you live in dependency on your God and as you live having a relationship with Him, when you live your life with Him in your life, in other words, you engage the world in a way that you are not alone, but that there really is someone who is with you. And as you grow to know who this person is, there will be a change in who you are and how you interact with the world that you are a part of. And because of the way that you interact with people, the way that you live your life, especially when it comes to a reduction of the unfruitful works of darkness in your own life, then you will be a living testimony of what is true, of what is real, of what is right and good and acceptable to the Lord, as it says in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And so when this happens, the people around you are going to take notice. This is going to be something that they see. They will personally be confronted with the reality that you present. Because of that, they are going to feel convicted. They are going to be exposed. The things that they value, the things that they believe are acceptable or that they want to believe are acceptable, are going to be exposed just because of your existence in their life. All right, that's the first thing. The second thing that I want you to keep in mind is that we do interact with the world for the purpose of telling people about the living God. This is one of the things that we do in the life that we have. We go out into the world and we testify of our God. We are His representative. So if we are going to speak to others or relate to others and help them to understand that there is a God and that what He thinks is probably important, and for them to take that into consideration and perhaps find out who He is and what He does value and what is acceptable to Him, that it would be in their interest to do that. In order to have access to people, to be able to communicate with them at all, we are going to have to interact with them in a way that they are willing to interact with us. And if we are exposing too much about who they really are at once, it could be overwhelming, and they might just very well reject you entirely and ask you to get out of their life just because they're not interested in the magnitude of the exposure that you might end up doing. And so it's important to keep these two things in mind, that just by your existence, you will expose these things, but also to keep in mind that we want to be able to interact with those people who are lost and have some degree of fellowship with the people, even though we don't have to have fellowship with their works or with their activities or with their sin. We don't have to have fellowship with those things, but we still need to have some degree of fellowship with others. Otherwise, who's going to ever hear about the gospel? Who is going to hear about the Lord? And so I really think that these are two things that are important to keep in mind. You know, I have found that on occasion I can be a little intense around people and they feel very uncomfortable with me being in their presence. I have encountered this a lot in my life, especially with people who have made a decision to reject the living God and the Bible, the scriptures, and the Lord Jesus. They just find me to be very uncomfortable to be around. And it does inhibit my ability to relate to them and continue to reach out to them with the truth. In other words, there are other people who are not necessarily as intense as I am who can have better access to some lost people than I can have. And I think that this is important to pay attention to and to notice and to appreciate. And I'm telling you this because I want you to understand that regardless of how well you may really know your God, regardless of how much He may have changed your life up to this point, regardless of how that might really be represented, the important thing is that you are finding out, you are discovering, you are growing, you are learning. And even when you are still a relatively new believer, the living God can, in some circumstances, find it much easier to speak the truth to some people than those of us who are quite mature in the faith, just because of the way that our presence and our existence can be so much of an exposure in people's lives. So I want you to understand that the Lord our God works through everyone in the ways that He is able to work within and through all of His children. Because in the end, it really is our God. It really is Him. It is He who speaks through our mouths, who listens through our ears, and touches with our hands when He manifests Himself to others to invite them to have a personal relationship with Him. All right, now proceeding into verse 14, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, therefore He says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Now, to me, this verse is speaking directly to the lost people, those who are not spiritually alive. This verse is a way of exaggerating the point that before we are a child of God, we are dead. We are dead. We are born into this world spiritually dead in the sense that we do not have the life of God within us. We don't have the Spirit of God. That is what makes us alive. What makes us alive is the presence of life, and in this case, it is the presence of the life of God. When we are born into this world, we are born spiritually dead, and He needs to make us spiritually alive into a new creation entirely. And that is the gospel. The gospel has to do with the declaration that the sin issue between man and God came to an end so that He could give to us the Holy Spirit that was lost in Adam and Eve during the incident in the Garden of Eden. And when this Spirit is restored to us, when it is given to us and dwells within us, there will be no sin left unforgiven that would cause the Holy Spirit to depart from us as it did from Adam and Eve. That's the purpose of forgiveness and why the forgiveness issue needs to be completely resolved, why the sin issue has to come to an end, because if there was any sin left unforgiven by the Lord Jesus, then that sin, according to the law of sin and death, would cause the Holy Spirit to depart from within you. But because all sin is resolved through what he did on the cross, you have been made alive and you will never be dead again. And so going back to verse 14, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And what is the light? The light is the illumination that our God does within us as he tells us the truth about the reality of life that we are in and that we experience. That is the way that our God gives us light. It is through the revelation of the truth. We are to pay attention to our God. We are to listen to what he has to say. We are to embrace the truths that he reveals to us and allow those truths to replace those things that we believe before we are exposed to the truth. In our lives, we live our lives, we grow to discover and believe a lot of things that are not true. We are to replace those things with the truth that God reveals to us. Of course, he does this over an extended period of time. Again, this is a life for us to live. This is not some single event such that we are now illuminated to the extent where we have no need for any further revelation of the truth. This is a lifelong experience that in most cases happens as we are engaging the world that we are a part of and living our lives. Christ will give us light. He will give you light through the truth that he reveals. With the truth that he reveals, we can proceed into verse 15, which says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And he gives an example of this in verse 17. I'll speak about this in just a moment, but let's just talk about the idea of walking circumspectly first, not as fools, but as wise. Obviously, if we are going to walk circumspectly, then we are expected to be walking in a wise way, not in a foolish way. The general definition of circumspectly is to walk carefully, to avoid risks. For each step that you take, you consider where you were before you took that step to ensure that it is consistent with everything that you experienced before. And so a simple way to describe verse 15 is to say, see then that you walk with careful consideration of the truths that God has already revealed to you and add a little bit at a time, not too much, but just a little bit at a time, carefully and with great consideration and thought, considering the consequences that could result from the new things that you believe and how you apply what you believe your God has revealed to you. So there's a lot to that, of course, but this is where it usually begins. It begins with an initial foundation. If your foundation has a certain amount of error to it, if you are believing some things that are not entirely correct, then the following steps you will take will be a slight deviation from where the Lord would want you to walk in. And it's okay if this happens. I'm going to say it's okay because I've seen most people go in a path just like this with a slight deviation from where they should be. And they later experience the consequences related to that. They usually recognize that their relationship with God doesn't seem to be as real as they would like it to be. They struggle with the issues regarding law and grace. What does it mean to be a believer? Who is their God? There are a lot of struggles that people experience because of their deviation from the proper foundation. But it's in these struggles that people have, it's in these struggles that they are able to better appreciate the truth when they discover the reality of what Christ Jesus has done for them. And so I don't want to suggest that it is really, really important for a person to get it all right away You know, that they get it all correct and that they step forward one step at a time so that they never deviate, they never experience any difficulties, any confusion. I don't want to suggest that that's really as important as a lot of people would like it to be, because I've seen people benefit from the struggles of growing in their faith. And so instead of trying to get everybody on the right path right away, what I try to encourage people to do is to continue to reevaluate their faith from the beginning, to come back to the basic foundation for how they were saved, what it means to be saved, for people to do that regularly, you know, to review these things and then walk forward, because I have found that as people do that, they do discover a few things that they can make corrections to. They don't make corrections to everything that they could probably make a correction to, but they make a few. And then they live their lives a little longer, and then I encourage them to review again their faith and the things they have built on top of what they believed initially, and review the corrections that they made and look for other things. This, to me, is the normal Christian life, as I have seen many people live their lives and grow in their relationship with their God. So I don't concern myself too much with, okay, now let's make sure you get it all right and you have it all together right away, because I have seen people grow and mature and change. I don't think that it's something to be as concerned about as I think a lot of people can be. Having said that, I would of course like to encourage people to be as correct as possible, because of course it can reduce a lot of the struggles that a person can experience. And you know, we might just be having enough struggles in our lives as it is, and so we don't have to intentionally add to those struggles if we can avoid them. So I still go back to the same fundamental issue of trying to help people to understand what the gospel really is and to walk forward carefully, step by step, from the foundation of what the gospel is. And of course, the way that I describe the gospel is different from the majority of the Christian world throughout the entire history of the church. The way I describe the gospel is a little different. It is not the majority point of view. I understand that. I'm very open about that. I understand what people believe, and I understand why I do not believe a lot of what a lot of people believe. And it's my opinion that if they were to recognize what I believe the gospel is, that it would just be a matter of time before that would have an effect on their lives and they would eventually concede that what I am telling them is the truth. But that is just my personal opinion, of course. The gospel has to do with sin, death, forgiveness, and the restoration of life. That's the gospel. Sin, death, forgiveness for the sin, and the restoration of life to resolve the death of humanity. In most cases, people are stuck in sin and forgiveness, and they give very little to no consideration whatsoever for the life and death issue of the gospel. They're just focused on the sin and forgiveness issue of the gospel, not the other part, the other half, of death and the restoration of life. So what most people have been doing is they have been living their lives with what I would call maybe half a gospel, which is better than nothing, of course. And of course, it does have a positive effect in people's lives, and they do grow to know the Lord to some extent. I think that's quite obvious. But the steps that they take past the gospel, the steps that they take are careful steps, but they are not taking into consideration the life and death issue of the gospel. And so where do they go? They stay in the sin and forgiveness issue. They stay in those issues. And what they end up doing is they end up taking steps in their lives to live by a system of law. That's the direction that most people go in, which is a deviation from what our God has for us. It is a deviation. and it leads to all kinds of problems and issues and confusion in people's lives, in which case they eventually have to return back to the initial subject of sin and forgiveness. And so their circumspection ends up being a cycle of wandering around in the wilderness of sin, confession, repentance, forgiveness, sin, confession, repentance, forgiveness, sin, confession, repentance, forgiveness. And it is the law that keeps this going. It's the law that keeps this alive, that people believe that the way you walk in your daily life as a Christian is through the knowledge of good and evil, doing that which is good, do not do that which is wrong or evil. And if you succeed, then you will be blessed by God here in this life that you have right now. Or if he fails to compensate you properly for the things that you did, the good things, then you will receive rewards in heaven. That is the general message that most people live by. But there is another way to live, and that is expressed in verse 17. So moving forward from verse 15, which says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And I'll come back to verse 16 in just a moment. In verse 17, he says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is," what the will of God is. And that's what he started his letter to the Ephesians with, was the subject of the will of God and the inheritance that we have received in Christ as a result of his death. We are to live our lives with what he has already given to us because of what he has done. That is the Christian life. It is a life of living with what we have because of what he has done for us. When a person decides to take their steps from the foundation of the faith and start living by the law, they end up living their lives doing things for God, hoping that they will get something from him because of what they do or do not do. To live by the inheritance means that you are going to live with what he has given to you because of what he has done for you. And those are two completely different ways of life. The circumspection needs to be a continual return to the foundation of sin, death, forgiveness, the restoration of life. And through his death, the will of God has gone into effect such that we as his children have received an inheritance in Christ, and we are to now walk one step at a time with what we have in Christ, what we have right now, which of course is him and his love for us and his acceptance for us and for his understanding. And for the purposes that he will allow us to participate in our lives as we are living this life together with our God. And I will continue with this in the next message.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937. Or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.